absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to episode 35 of Absolutely Intercultural. My name is Laurent Borgmann, and with me in the studio is my co-host and chief editor, Carsten Knese, also known as the Pod Carsten. In our last show from Remagen, we talked about cultural aspects of religion, although both of us are not really very religious people. Now today we'll stay on more familiar ground and look a little into the future of education. So in today's episode, we talk about how new Web 2.0 technologies and tools like the three-dimensional virtual world Second Life and podcasting are changing the way we learn, the way we teach, and how we shape and influence this process. So generally speaking, how Web 2.0 is changing the culture of education. Now for our first column, Absolutely Virtual, I've interviewed Nikki Hockley from the Consultants E in Barcelona about their ventures into this new world and what the hype about Second Life is all about.
There are different educational projects happening in Second Life. It's a very interesting area.
We've split up the interview with Nikki into two parts, and you really shouldn't miss the second part at the end of this show, where Nikki talks about EduNation and what you can learn there. And before we continue our Second Life interview with Nikki Hockley, you will hear Sebastian Durock, an Apple Distinguished Educator and teacher of English and music at a high school in Germany. Sebastian talks about his own experience as a teacher for our third column, Absolutely Practical, and gives a hands-on example from his podcasting project with young students.
The students really use podcasts as their own medium, as working on their English language.
In our March show, episode 26, Anne, our co-host in Denmark, outed herself as a new resident of Second Life, an online virtual world where you can do almost anything that you can do in your first life too. Today, I'm using the good old-fashioned telephone to talk to Nikki Hockley, who is the IETFL Teacher Training Special Interest Group Coordinator and also the Director of Pedagogy of the Consultants E in Barcelona. Hi, Nikki, and thank you for taking some time to talk to us.
Hi, Lauren. Thanks for inviting me. I've been following your show, well, since you started, and also a belated congratulations on your award for these podcasts, the EduBlogs Award, which was last year, I think.
Well, thank you very much. Now, today we're here to talk a little bit about something where you have invested some time and some energy, and that is Second Life. Now, in my first life, I spent a lot of time teaching and learning, or thinking about teaching and how that can be improved, how learning can be improved. Now, I haven't even got an account in Second Life yet, but I hear a lot about it. Do you think Second Life could be helpful?
Yes. I mean, in fact, well, yes and no. I think there's been a lot of hype about Second Life in the media. But we mustn't forget that it's just a tool, really. It's a synchronous tool, so something that can help real-time teaching, if you like. But you're not missing that much if you don't have an account yet.
Okay, maybe we can go a step back and you first explain to us what Second Life is for those people who have never been in it.
Okay, imagine a video game on your computer screen. It's like a three-dimensional space, and you have, for example, in a typical video game, a corridor, and you have a figure, which is called an avatar or a character. That's your character. And you can move your character through this three-dimensional space, you know, down a corridor, around the corner, around trees, by moving the keys on your keyboard. So basically Second Life is based on that, on game environments. It's three-dimensional. It's a world. There are objects. There are people. There are animals, trees, buildings, cars, helicopters even. And you can move around that. Now, what makes Second Life fundamentally different to a game is that it's not something that is just on your computer that you are playing. It's public. It's in the internet. So everybody in the world can, in theory, go into Second Life. your own character is in there, and you're talking to other people who are characters who are sitting behind their computers at the same time, and you're talking and interacting with them in real time.
Yes, when you say talking to them, how does that work?
There are two ways. There's text chat, where you type in words, and there's also voice chat in Second Life. Voice chat is going to be made common to all of Second Life within a month or two.
Now, when we hear about Second Life in the media, it's all about making money, whether it's Linden dollars or real American dollars. And sometimes we hear about virtual sex, child pornography, crime, etc. But I can remember I was on the internet very early, and I heard exactly the same stories about the internet at the time. Now, you've made your own experiences with education in Second Life. Can you tell us a little bit what all the hype is about?
Yeah, I think the first thing we need to remember is that a tool like Second Life is not entirely new. These types of three-dimensional worlds have been around for a while, but for some reason Second Life seems to have caught the public imagination, and it's had a lot of coverage in the newspapers and on TV. You've probably seen things on TV.
Yes.
It is very, very visual in terms of the graphics are very... very complex. It looks fabulous when you're in there.
Now, sometimes we hear about, places like Harvard, University College Dublin, New York University, I think Stanford University, all seem to have their virtual classrooms, even at this early stage in Second Life now. I would understand that these classrooms are accessible from anywhere in the world. So why do we need yours in Barcelona? Because I think you've created your own world there, your education world there. Why shouldn't we join one of these other worlds if they're accessible from everywhere?
You will hear more about how Second Life can be used for teaching at the end of the show. But let us now turn to another very important new feature of the shiny and new Web 2.0 world, podcasting. As the editor of this podcast, I was invited to a panel about the future of educasts at the Podcast Day 2007 in Cologne. And not only have I introduced our podcast to a very interested audience, but I also met interesting people who have their own little, or rather big, projects going on. It was great to get the chance to talk about all aspects of Absolutely Intercultural, from how we started it to what has come out of it so far. I think most of the teachers and university staff in the audience were very interested to hear how easy it actually is to start your own podcast and how little we had to do to promote it. It was you, our audience, who did the promotion for us. And I think this is a good opportunity to thank you for having made our little project a rather successful one. I hope you'll stay with us and keep us going with your input and feedback.
Sebastian Dorok teaches students between 10 and 18. And he's using podcasting in the classroom. And he even managed to make his students ask for more homework. Can this be true, or is it a teacher's dream? Let's listen in.
Okay, my name is Sebastian Dorok. I am an English and music teacher from Geseke in Germany. Since 2005, I am in the so-called Apple Distinguished Educator. This is a worldwide program. And in Germany, we have about 50 or 60 Apple Distinguished Educators. We are all teachers working full-time in school. And in our free time, in our spare time, we go ahead and show other teachers how to use Apple computers and Apple software in school. And I use podcasts in my English lessons for my students. They do their homework as a podcast. They record their own voices and upload their homework as an episode into our podcast. That means that, of course, they go ahead and write the text, first of all, then they practice reading out the text, and then they record it, and then upload it into our podcast. And as a result, all the other students can listen to what their fellow colleagues did at home, and they can react on that. This is what they actually did. They listened to what, for example, Peter did at home. Then Susan listened to Peter's homework, and she found a mistake in there. And then she corrected him, and she used the podcast and then recorded her own correction about Peter's homework. And so the students really use podcast as their own medium, as working on their English language.
Now that sounds so amazing that I bet that many of our listeners would like to know how to become one of those Apple Distinguished Educators.
Well, you can apply at Apple to become an Apple Distinguished Educator, and then they will look if you are a teacher who uses IT in class, and you will have to show them what you do in class, and if they think it's good and it's innovative what you do there, they will then make you an Apple Distinguished Educator. Or if you know someone who is an Apple Distinguished Educator, it's always good to show him or her what you do in class, and he can then apply for you in the Apple Distinguished Educator program.
Well, Sebastian, thank you very much for the insights, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about your projects. We've put a link to your website on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com.
But let us now come back to the second part of the Second Life interview I did with Nikki Hockley of the Consultants E in Barcelona. Do you remember? I asked Nikki what we can find on her island, which is called EduNation.
Well, first of all, we don't really have classrooms as such. There are different educational projects happening in Second Life. It's a very interesting area. Ourselves, what we have is an island, which is called EduNation, and basically we're involved in teacher training as opposed to, you know, language classes. So what we tend to do is run synchronous or real-time training sessions, and we also recently ran the first what we called Slanguages, so Second Life Languages, Slanguages Conference in EduNation, which was on the 23rd of June. So
this is actually for people like myself who are getting interested in Second Life and want to include it in their teaching, and I could go on one of your training courses.
Yes, absolutely. We run closed groups, for example, for universities. We've just done some training a couple of months ago for an educational institution in Canada, the Northern Alberta Institute of Technology, so a big technological university. We actually ran a number of 1.5-hour workshops in EduNation, in Second Life, for their faculty, teaching them how to move around Second Life, looking at educational tools and so on. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that we're involved in terms of training other educators in the use of Second Life, not just how to move around, but what educational tools are possible and what educational approaches you can implement in Second Life.
Right. Now, if we look at the learning situation or the teaching situation, where do you see potential? Is this just kind of second best for people who cannot come to the classroom? So the ordinary way how distance learning is being used, or is there something else to it?
Yeah, I think it's something different. I always have problems comparing distance or online learning with face-to-face learning. I think there are very different things, and they fulfill different purposes. To me, I think Second Life brings an extra and new dimension to online learning. Online learning is traditionally asynchronous, so out of real time, often based on documents, often based on reading something, and then posting your opinion, perhaps to a forum, and then somebody replies, but it's not immediate. We do, of course, have things like Skype or voice chat, which are used with distance learning, but Second Life brings in much more this feeling of being part of a group in distance learning, because it's a synchronous or real-time place where you can go and you can kind of meet your classmates. You can meet their avatars or their characters in real time. It simply provides this sense of social presence that's difficult to create in distance learning.
Right. Now, in the 70s, Larry Selinker brought up this idea of interlanguage, a kind of transitory space in between our native language and the second languages that we learn. And somehow it was suggested that looking at that interlanguage, that it could help us to understand both our native language and also the language that we are trying to learn, the target language. Now, do you think that Second Life could probably be a similar vantage point in between our own culture and the other cultures that we learn about?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting viewpoint. In a way, yes. I think it's not just common to Second Life, but I think there is a computer-mediated form of culture and a form of language that already takes place in, for example, emails, in text chat, if you look at the kind of language that even non-native speakers of English will use in text chat, you know, abbreviations like CU, the letters C and U. That kind of thing is becoming more and more common. And I think, yes, Second Life, the environment does lend itself to a kind of flattening of culture, if you like.
I think this could be an interesting aspect, because I understand that in Second Life you have the choice to be a different person, or, as you said, to choose your avatar anyway. For example, a man could choose to have a female outlook or something. Do you think that you can develop more sensitivity and empathy by trying to walk through this second life, through this virtual life, as a different person, and then see how people react to you if you are a woman, for example, if they think you are a woman? Do you think it would help men to try that out?
Yes, I haven't tried this myself, although it's an interesting idea. And in fact, quite a few other people have tried it, I must say. I personally know people who have male and female avatars.
All right.
You can have more than one, of course. It happened in the early days of Second Life, so maybe a year ago, in education. Now, this is a woman who teaches a face-to-face creative writing class at a university in the States. And what she was doing one class a week face-to-face, and one class a week in Second Life.
Right.
So her students would go along to Second Life. And we observed a couple of her workshops, and one was particularly interesting. What she did was, all her students were in Second Life, and she got them to change gender. To make it, if they were male students in real life, to make an avatar which was female for themselves, and the females to make an avatar that was male for themselves. And then their little task for the class was to go off into public places in Second Life, to bars and shops and, you know, squares and so on, and to interact with the people that they found there, just on a purely social level, to chat. Mm-hmm. She gave them half an hour to do that, and then they had to come back. And when they got back, they had to basically debrief, so, you know, analyze what it had felt like, how people had reacted to them, what differences they'd noticed in interacting with people from the other gender's point of view. And she was doing something like this because she was running, obviously, a creative writing class. So the idea was exactly what you said, Lawrence, to perhaps look at things like empathy and how to experience things from somebody else's point of view. Now, this is what's so interesting, I think, about Second Life, that you can do that very effectively in Second Life. It can be a lot less effective in real life to try to do it.
Yes, a little more difficult as well. If you dress up as a woman, I think it might be a little more difficult. One last question to you before you go. Are you a Second Life person yourself? Do you hang out in Second Life when you're not working?
Actually, I'm not. I'm not a Second Life person. I think I'm fairly pragmatic, and I am with all of my teaching life, I think, because, you know, having a child and so on, you don't have that much spare time. I spend the time that I need to in Second Life to become familiar with it, to find out what's going on, sometimes for fun. But I do know people who spend a lot of their lives in Second Life, several hours a day, and a lot of people do say that it's extremely addictive. So if you haven't started in Second Life yet, beware. You might find yourself sucked in and spending more time than you would like to when you're there.
But as long as people spend a lot of time on your educational island, I think that's a good place to be.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you very much for your time. I'm sure we'll speak to you again in the future. Thank you, Nikki Hockley.
Thank you, Lawrence. You're very welcome.
I'm afraid we have reached the end of the show. We really hope you enjoyed it, and we are always looking forward to your feedback. So please go to our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com and leave a comment, or even better, send us an audio comment to contact@absolutely-intercultural.com, and you'll become a part of the show yourself. The next episode will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 27th of July. So long,
stay tuned. Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.